Okay, we began our discussion yesterday about dating, and the most fundamental question a person has to ask before getting into the dating process is, why do you get married? If you're dating to get married, so why in the world am I getting married? Once I can understand why I'm getting married, then I have a different perspective going into dating, different perspective of who I want to marry. So yesterday we discussed, just to summarize for 30 seconds, yesterday we discussed the idea that yes, a major part of marriage is children, is having children. The first mitzvah of the Torah is pruruvu. But in addition, as we saw yesterday, there has to be some other reason as to why a person gets married. And what we suggested yesterday is that we were created b'tzelem Elokim. We are created in the image of God. What does that mean? Obviously Hashem doesn't have a physical image. So what does it mean to be created b'tzelem Elokim? So Rav Dessler suggests that being created with b'tzelem Elokim means that just like Hashem is the ultimate giver, and when Hashem gives, he doesn't expect anything in return. So too, a person, in order for a person to fulfill his purpose of being in b'tzelem Elokim, you need to put yourself in a situation in which you are the ultimate giver without asking for anything in return, and the context in which you do that is marriage. So therefore, one important reason why a person gets married is in order to actualize his tzelem Elokim. To actualize his tzelem Elokim, and the way we do that is by getting married and becoming an ultimate giver without asking for anything in return. As we mentioned, most people go into marriage the opposite. I'm going to take. I'm going to receive. I'm here to have somebody serve me. And if a person goes into marriage with that perspective, unfortunately, that may lead to a destructive marriage. If a person goes into marriage with the perspective that I'm here to give to you, hopefully your spouse comes in with the same perspective. They're here to give to you. And then it's a beautiful harmony, a beautiful marriage. That is one idea.
What? What if your wife just wants to date?
Okay, so hopefully in the dating process, as we'll talk about, you learn about the other person, you can see the qualities that she has. That's point number one. Point number two is that, as we put on the board yesterday, there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Lo tov hayos adam levado." It's not good for man to be alone. I'll make for him chava. Al kein yazo es aviv es imo. Man should leave his mother and father, v'davak v'ishto, connect to his wife, v'hayu l'basar efrad.
Wow.
The question is, what does it mean? These are psukim from the second parak of Bereishis. What does it mean here that when you connect to your wife, you become one? What does that mean? There are many mepharshim try to explain this. What does it mean? So this is exactly what we want to talk about right now. And that is, one second, that is in addition to actualizing your tzelem Elokim by getting married, we have to realize the following. And you all know this. Is that every person in this room, except for me, you guys are all half. You're all half. You are not living a complete life yet. You're not. Which is why the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos that a person who is not married, does not have simcha, does not have a lot of things. And on the contrary, somebody who is married has all these things. Why? Because when a person gets married, he is completing himself. Every neshama, listen carefully, every neshama has a male component and a female component. And the whole world really is built like this. Male component and female component. The neshama that each of you have right now is just the male component expressing itself in a male body. But there is a female walking around this planet right now who is the female component of your soul. And therefore, when a person is not married, they're walking around incomplete. They're not incomplete. Only when a person gets married and finds his soulmate, like we call a soulmate, we'll talk about next time, we'll talk about the concept of Pasher. So therefore, you have male component, female component of the neshama. And once they combine, so then you have a complete soul. This is what the pasuk means when it says, "Lo tov hayos adam levado." It's not good for man to be alone. You know why it's not good for man to be alone? Because when you are alone, you are incomplete. That's what the Torah is telling me.
The reason why it's not good to be alone is because when you're alone, you're complete. And therefore, Kol Psukim later, when the Torah tells you, you leave your parents' home, and you find a wife, and you come to become one, what does that mean? It's exactly what it's talking about. Ba'ilu basarachan, now basar happens to be flesh, right? Physical. But in a sense, what it means is you become one. Why do you become one? Because now, your half and that person's half have now come together. And therefore, one second, and therefore, when a person gets married, you are accomplishing two important things. Number one, you're finally able to express yourself as a tzel melokim in the greatest way possible. You become the ultimate giver. We'll talk about this. But that means that you're going into marriage, going into the dating process, versus think, okay, I'm not here to take. I'm here to give. And that is totally antithetical to any perspective of marriage you'll hear in Western society. It's all about taking, it's all about getting pleasure, it's all about using another person. And when you go into marriage like that, once you've used that person enough, once you've taken from that person enough, and there's nothing left to take, guess what? Move on to somebody else. Chas v'shalom. With a Jewish perspective, I'm here to give. Guess what? Giving is limitless. Giving is limitless. There's no end to giving. So imagine you have two people in a marriage, and they're both just giving to each other. You know what happens to that marriage? The marriage lasts forever. So there's no end. I can just keep giving to you. There's nothing I can't get. I just keep giving. But when two people are taking, eventually what? I take enough from you. There's nothing left. And therefore, point number one, the reason we get married is to express our tzelem elokim in the greatest way possible. And it's interesting because our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu is like our relationship with a wife. Because just like the Kaddish Baruch Hu loves us, as we know, Hashem loves us, He created us to give to us. So too, it's the same thing. A man gets married to a woman, same thing. To love her and to give to her. That's point number one. Point number two is this point which you all know, and that is, you are completing yourself by getting married. That's this idea. It's not good to be alone. But you love us, a person might say, oh, it's so much more fun to live a life where I'm single, I can go traveling, I can do whatever I want, and I don't need so much money because I just, you know, one bedroom apartment, I don't need to worry about kids, waking up late, waking up with another more. No. But what you realize for that person is that he is living an incomplete life. An incomplete life. Now, obviously, I'm sure we all know individuals who are not married. And it's not to say that it's their fault. It's not to say that, oh, wow, look at this person. Everyone has their own situation. We don't know why Hashem sets up certain things. Like, for example, to say that it's a person's fault that he didn't get married. Now, you know, obviously in the dating process, people could do things sometimes better, and therefore maybe they're too picky. And you had somebody who could have been your wife. We'll talk about this. Your list about who you want to marry is 100 items long. And if she doesn't fit every single item, okay, so that obviously, we would say, what are you doing? You don't have a list of 100 items. Okay, we'll clear your questions in a second. But if a person put in normal hishtalos, and at the end of the day doesn't get married, that is fault. Hashem has some plan for him. It's the same thing. Chas v'shalom. Let's say somebody is born with some, you know, a mental deficiency. So is that his fault? So are we going to say he's less of a Jew? Less? I don't know. Everyone is born with their own things. We try, right? We try with whatever we have to serve Hashem the best way possible. But if a person ends up not being married, we obviously wouldn't say that they are any less than anybody else. Just to finish off this point, then I'll get to all your questions. This is why in Kohen Gadol, as we might know, in Mishnayos in Maseches Yuma, he needs to be married. A Kohen Gadol, if he's not married, he's not allowed to serve that year in Beis Medash for Yom Kippur. Now think about it. The holiest man on the holiest day in the holiest place, Kodesh HaKadoshim, Yom Kippur. Why in the world does he have to get married? Because he needs to be complete. He needs to be whole. And only a person who is whole is able to serve as our leader. He's able to serve as the individual who goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And finally, and then we'll take your questions. For those in the secular world, why do they get married? It's very pragmatic. What do I mean? It's very practical. Why do I get married? Well, I need someone to, you know, do my laundry. I need somebody just to spend time with. I need... I don't have any more money, so hopefully my spouse can make money also. I have certain physical needs, emotional needs. You know, I want to leave a legacy. So how am I going to leave a legacy if I don't get married? I want to have children. That's very pragmatic. It's very practical. That's not why we get married. Yes, those are all things that we are part of our marriages, emotional and physical and
We have to recognize a Jewish approach. This is one approach. There are many approaches. One approach is this. Selam Elokim, number one. Number two is completing yourself. When you go into marriage, you go into dating that way, so I'm not necessarily looking for a supermodel, you know, the most beautiful woman in the whole world, because that might not be, she might, may not be the A, other side of my soul, okay? And B, am I here to give to her or am I here to take from her? So that's why this really changes our perspective of who we want to marry and how we manage. Okay, we'll go right to left. Yes?
You said, right, you're supposed to be in marriage to give to each other, right?
Yes.
But if you're giving and they receive, it's not that, like, they're taking.
Sometimes giving is taking.
Okay, exactly. Wow. But no, I mean, to receive, no. Taking means, my perspective is, I'm here to take from you. If I want to give you a present, you're not taking from me. In a sense, you're receiving from me. There's a different perspective of, like, I'm looking for opportunities just to take from you. Obviously, if you want to give me something, I can receive it. But it's in terms of a perspective.
My answer,
yes.
Answer,
yeah.
When I mean by sometimes giving is taking, like, your wife gives you a gift, she feels good about giving you the gift. You want to make her feel good by taking.
Exactly.
The gift.
Exactly. Right.
Sometimes giving is taking.
Right. Exactly.
You, so you're actually taking is giving.
Right.
Because you're taking her gift. You might not even like the gift at all. Just by taking it, giving it, saying thank you.
You're giving it to her.
Right, she feels appreciated. Exactly. Yes.
I was going to say, this might be a little bit more of a Kabbalistic opinion, but I heard that 40 days before...
Next year, it's not Kabbalistic, it's called a Gemara, okay?
No, but I was going to say that usually like what they say about people that don't get married is that they were supposed to get married and whoever didn't marry them, whatever. I heard another opinion.
Yep.
It's like, instead of them not marrying the person they were married, whenever like it was determined for them to get married, the Balaam just didn't say anything. So instead of like saying that,
so we,
whoever, they were just like, they just didn't open their mouth.
Good. Next time we're going to talk about the concept called Basheret, okay? We're going to spend a shir to on Basheret to understand what does that mean. Is there really only one person in this world that could be your other side of the soul, or could be more than one? Good. Excellent. Sota. Very good. Very good. How do you know that?
I don't know.
Very good. Okay.
Already sort of biased.
Very good. Okay, yes, have a question?
I heard an idea.
Yes.
That we should not like start dating or looking to get married until we understand what it feels like to be alone. Meaning, if you don't recognize what it feels like to be alone, then you can't appreciate having a wife.
Okay, interesting. Okay, we are going to have a whole section about when are you so ready for the dating process? That'll be after Bashir. Okay, we'll talk about that.
I disagree.
Okay, here we go. That ends our brief discussion on why a person gets married. I want to add on a couple more points in the next couple of minutes. In the overall section, or before you begin, so first of all, before you begin, you have to understand why you're getting married. But in addition, here we go. Ready for this? And this begins right now. This begins today. I'm not telling you right now to start dating. What I am telling you right now today is to start preparing for your marriage. Already today? In what way? Listen carefully to me. One of the great students of the Arizal, Reb Chaim Vital. He says as follows. He says that when a person goes to Shamayim, Hashem is going to judge this individual. Now, we are built of a lot of different components. Torah study, and mitzvos, and personality. When it comes time to get judged about your personality, about your midos, by your character traits, and how you dealt with people in this world, listen carefully. You are not going to be judged based on how you acted towards friends, towards your boss, towards coworkers, because what I can tell you, and this is very unfortunate, is that there are many people in this world who on the outside seem like really, really nice people, and people will say, this guy, wow, such a great guy to work with. He's honest, he's a hard worker, he's so sweet, he's so helpful. Says what Chaim Vital tells you carefully. We are going to be judged in Shamayim for our midos based on how we treat our wives. Period. A person can be so nice on the outside, but when you are living with another individual 24/7, that is where you are really tested. And I like to say the mashal, imagine somebody comes to you and says, I have mastered the negative trait of anger. I never ever get angry. She says, no, it's taken me years, real avoda, real work, and I have mastered the negative character trait of anger, which is amazing. You ask this guy a simple question. Can I ask you something, sir? Yeah, sure. Where do you live? Oh, you know where I live? I live on some far out island alone. So what would you tell this guy? Have you mastered the art of not being angry? No, because guess what? You're never tested in getting angry. If you're alone on an island and nobody's there to ruffle your feathers, so how do you know if you've mastered the art of not getting angry? So when it comes to marriage, this is where our midos are going to be tested like they've never been tested before. And part of getting married, and this actually could be a third idea, but it's related to what we've said before, is another way of completing yourself is becoming your best self. And the way you become your best self is by working on yourself. And when it comes to character traits, which are so fundamental to being a Jew, they are only going to be tested, and you can only really work on them in a marriage. And unfortunately, some marriages end because either spouse or both spouses, very simple, have not worked on their midos. And if a person's not working on his midos, so it's very easy to get angry, it's very easy to lose your temper, it's very easy time and time again, your food didn't taste good, and my breakfast was late, and over and over and over again, if you don't work on your midos, eventually, it's very hard to live with a person like that. And again, I'm not saying it's only the man, the both of them. But this is so critical. And this avodah starts now. Honestly, this avodah already started. To work on our midos. The person goes into marriage. And obviously, at the age of 22, 23, 24, a person's not going to be perfect in his midos. But a person needs to be working on them. That means you have to pick a sefer, Ol HaMidos, Orchos Tzadik, and whatever book you want. We'll listen to a shir on it. And we have to constantly be working on a midah. I'm working on jealousy, I'm working on anger, I'm working on kavod, whatever midah it is. Constant work, day in and day out. You work on a midah, you really, really, really work on it. You get tested, you really try to work on it, then move on to something else. I'm always constantly working on it. But this is where we are going to be judged. How we treat our wives. And it's very, very easy to fake out other people. And this is why, unfortunately, sometimes you hear within the Jewish community of some case of some guy who unfortunately, chas v'shalom, is an abusive husband or abusive father. And everyone says, this guy, I know him well. I work with him. He's honest. He's a nice guy. Because what happens when you close the door? And that's where it becomes, and it's difficult. It's very, very, I can tell you for myself, almost being married 10 years, it's very, very difficult. A wife and children and a job making money and so much going on in your life. And you come home and all you expect when you come home is a nice dinner waiting for you. And what happens, you come into your house, it's all over, you know, the kids are still away, and the house is a mess, and your wife's upset at what happened at work that day, and there's nothing I'm expecting. And what happens? You blow up. Oh, come on. Marriages end on the silliest things. Small fights. Small here and there. Small fights. So it is so critical. It is so critical that if a person wants to, like we spoke about, really become his best self, which is a third aspect here of marriage, a person needs to work on his midos. And therefore, you can have a guy in yeshiva right now, everyone knows him as the nicest guy, that doesn't mean anything about how he's going to treat his wife. Nothing. Nothing. Because this is really where we're going to be tested in the most serious way possible. Okay? I heard from a... I forgot her name, but I heard from a master educator, and she deals a lot with marriages. She said that when it comes to marriage, you have to be wary of the three big sins, but she called it sins with a C. Okay, play on words. Sins. What are the three sins? C. Three C's. What are the three C's? Person has to make sure that they're not criticizing too much, not correcting too much, and not controlling.
Wow.
These are three traits a person can work on. If you have a controlling personality, if you always need to be right, if you always need to be in control, if you are very critical of other people, in general, if... I'll write it on the board.
Three C's.
Here we go. Okay? Criticize. Criticize, correct, and control. Okay? These are the three, sins. Okay? Three sins. Okay? If you see, listen carefully, if you see right now, in your own nature, that you are very critical of other people, family members, friends, you're always the guy who's like, come on, you could have done that better.
if you're a person who always corrects other people. Right? Criticize usually is more of a negative connotation. Correct might be, I want to help you, but you're always correcting other people. Right? Even things that don't matter. You said something wrong. And if you're a controlling personality, her opinion, she's seen in her many years of helping couples that these are three destructive, and she really meant destructive traits to have and perspectives to have, things to work on. Things to, if you are very critical, if you are very controlling, you need to work on this. This work begins now. There are obviously other traits which are important in marriage. I want to throw these out. If any of these resonates with you as something that you struggle with, you need to work on this now. Number one, I'll just list a bunch in a row. Teamwork. Okay? Marriage is a team. We'll talk about this. Marriage is all about being on a team. If you struggle with that, honestly, you always need to be high in score. You always need control. You have to work on it. Teamwork. Number one. Number two, patience. Okay? Patience. Okay, we'll talk about it. Okay, let's list them for a second. Patience. Patience.
I'm looking at Sadkinash.
Patience, but this guy's going to say. Patience. Okay? Sablanut. Do you get angry? Do you get angry very quickly? Do you have patience? Or can you wait? Patience. Number three, accepting responsibility. One of the three most important words in marriage. The three most important.
I'm wrong. I am wrong.
I am sorry.
You're right.
I am wrong.
Now, some might say, I love you, but it's not I love you. I am sorry. You are right. Exactly. I am sorry. I'm just going to tell you, you think it's easy. It is not easy. We all listen carefully. We all have an ego.
I mean, in theory,
we all have.
Shakman, Mazeshku.
We all have an ego. And it is very. We all have an ego. It's very. We all have big egos, and therefore for us to say that we did something wrong hurts our ego and makes us realize that we are not as perfect as we thought we were. And therefore, a person, you say, I'm sorry, a person needs to take responsibility. I messed up, I accept what I did was wrong, and now let's move on and try to fix. Number three. Number four is accepting criticism. We shouldn't be dishing the criticism, but a person should be able to receive criticism. This is a real, if you can't accept criticism, if you can't accept somebody saying, hey, you could do a little bit better, same thing. What happens, when second, what happens? When somebody tries to criticize you, right up, your guard comes up. Me? I need to fix myself? I need to work on myself? Come on, me? I'm perfect. So this is one, let me just get through the list. This is so critical. Number four, 1 second. Number five, and that is being flexible. You may not have thought of these traits, but these are really being flexible. Because as you're going to see, the way you do things right now, the way you have been growing up, even if you're marrying someone who lives down the block, you guys were brought up in totally different homes. And therefore, the way they do something, it'd be very different than the way you do something. There needs to be flexibility on both ends. But if you're just going to want to do it your way, it's going to be an issue. You know, this comes up in the Seder. You know, your first Seder together, you're so excited, you play all those songs you're used to, and then she sings different songs. And then you're like, what's going on here? You don't sing my song.
So,
flexible. Flexible, okay, but eventually, okay, flexibility. Okay, here's an interesting one. Okay, and this is very difficult for men. And that is a person has to learn how to express his feelings and emotions. Okay? It's very, very difficult for men. Very difficult for men, exactly. It's very, very difficult. But a person needs to start being in tune with himself and expressing himself. And even if you're upset, you're angry, express that to another person. Don't keep it all inside. Don't keep it all inside. Okay. Another one. Another one. Okay. Is gratitude. Is gratitude. Okay. Probably, if I might say, exactly one of the most important, if not honestly the most important way to keep a relationship alive and fresh is a person. Okay. There is no limit to the karsa tov you give. What about giving? Openly giving is giving a karsa tov. There is no limit to giving a karsa tov. It needs to be real. It can't be fake or made up, but there's no limit. Every single time you come home and dinner is ready, laundry is done, the kids are asleep, every time, thank you. And we'll talk about this. Sending a card, we'll talk about that. But gratitude. Okay, gratitude. Person needs to work on this. If it is hard for you,
if it is hard for you to express gratitude, this is something you need to work on. Because if a husband does not give gratitude to his wife, that marriage is not going to last too long. Okay, as we'll talk about, women desire and need to feel recognized by their husband. It doesn't happen the other way, necessarily, that a husband needs to be recognized so much by his wife. Okay. Truthfully, men, much more than men, could live alone. Women need to have a partner. Women need to, the Gemara even talks about this, okay? Women need to have some sort of partner. They need to feel, no, they need, really, we'll talk about it. Well, they need to feel needed, and they need to feel appreciated. Okay, 1 second. They need to feel appreciated, and that comes with the karsatov. So a person needs to make sure that he is working on his karsatov. And this is why... 1 second. This is why I brought this up earlier, yesterday. Remember that these two words seem to be contradictory? Ezer is to help. Connect, though, now if you look at our toilet, it probably translates as someone who helps, like, helps with you. But really, connect means against you. So I don't get it. Is she for you or is she against you? So the Gemara actually talks about this. But what does it mean? Is she Ezer or is she connect, though? So the truth is, sometimes, listen carefully, sometimes the greatest help another individual could give to you is actually to be against you. What do you mean against you? That means to work or to help you work on parts of yourself that haven't worked on yet. So if your wife, you know, pushes your buttons in a certain area, anger, you know what that means? Maybe you haven't worked on that yet. And maybe you need to, so she's your easier in the fact that she is connected, that she might, you know, help you in different areas that you haven't worked on yet. And that makes you complete. That completes you. Because if you just live life alone, going through life, no one's challenging you. And hopefully, marriage won't be too much of a challenge. But if no challenge there, you're not able to work on yourself. So this is why it ends up being, by a man leaving, then you come on. And she's there to help you there. She's there to challenge you to do that. Okay, you become even greater like that.
Really?
One second. This is all about midos. So this starts now. This avodah starts now. Obviously, just to live life, you have to have good midos. But as we head towards the state of dating and marriage, if you're not working on your midos, I'm going to tell you, it's a bad formula. Can you hope that your counterpart is also a person who's also constantly working on their midos? And you come together, and it's a beautiful synergy. It's a beautiful connection between two people who are trying to grow, who are working on themselves. And yes, we all make mistakes. And yes, you all get angry. And yes, no one's perfect. The question is, are you looking to work on that? Or, like I think I've told you in the past, you tap a random 50-year-old guy on his back and say, hey, he says, hey, why are you tapping on my back? He said, I want to ask you a question. What are you working on right now? What character trait are you working on now? What will they probably say to you? Why? Nothing. I'm working on a character trait. This is the way I was born, right? I was born, or even I've been perfect. I know I'm not perfect, but this is the way I was born. I need to work on it. Okay, so everyone has a scale, right? Between 0 and 10. You have your anger scale. You have your happiness scale. You have every scale. Okay, this is the way I was born. You know, for anger, I give myself a 7. And for jealousy, I give myself a 3. That's the way I was born. Like, what do you mean working on? No. When you yourselves are tapped on your shoulders when you're 50 years old and someone asks you, what are you working on now? You better have an answer on the spot. I'm working on patience. I'm working on simcha. I'm working on anger. Because life is constant work. When it comes to marriage, the work now is working on our midos.